Okay, we're going to go ahead and start. Good morning, everyone. This is week 4 out of 10. Good job. You guys are plugging away well. And once again, all the audios are at our website for both our classes. Pastor Alex doesn't have his class today. He's away preaching somewhere. Next Sunday, we don't have any classes at all because of VBS. So we'll take a break then, and we'll pick up the week after on the 14th, both classes. The other thing is I still have a few copies of What He Must Be. So highly, highly recommend. I think I had maybe 12 or 15, and I only have two left. So if you want them, they're subsidized, $10 each. And really excellent book. It says What He Must Be. It's a lot of pressure. I'm okay with, you know, it being like what he tries to be, okay? I'll be going it over with someone pretty soon, and it's a great book for parents to have. It's a great book for dads to have. It's a great book for dads to want their sons to be like. It's for themselves to be like. It's a great book for what you want your daughters to look for. So anyway, just excellent book. What else here? Any more housekeeping? I think that's it. Yeah, no VBS, no class next week. Okay, let me pray. We're going to jump right into loving your wife today. Okay, loving your wife. Father, we just ask that you would bless our teaching this morning. I pray you'd help me to be clear. Help me to be useful. Help this time to be spiritually profitable. And especially, Lord, I pray that you would help us husbands to understand our responsibility, our role. Our roles, and for our wives to just show a lot of grace. And next time, as we talk about respecting your husbands, we pray for just the same humble attitudes for both spouses. So, Lord, thank you again. Bless the teaching, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right. let me just start off by saying we got a seat. I'm not sure if there's a... Here, you want to take another one? The coldest spots I can see are guys are lined up right here. The coldest are right here. So just so you know, I see all the women are okay. All right, we need more. Yeah, here, okay, two more people coming in here. All right, let me just. This is my personal disclaimer on loving your wife. And for all the husbands, in defense of all the husbands today. This we're striving for a very high standard. We're striving for the Bible standard. Wives, please show a lot of grace. When we get back in 2 weeks, when we cover respecting your husbands show a lot of grace. This is difficult stuff to seek to be. When Paul says to love your wives as Christ has loved the church, that's a very, very difficult thing. So, please, everyone, just have a humble attitude. Don't be thinking through each of these principles and points and go, wow, you know, this is terrible. Who did I marry? We have to show a lot of grace toward each other, and we're all growing together. So, okay, just keep that in mind. What does the Bible say that our life's highest goal is? What is our highest goal? What is there nothing higher than for the Christian? Anybody?
To stand before God, he says, good, faithful servant.
Close. Okay. I'm just looking for one statement of the Bible that your main job in life is this. Anybody?
Love the Lord your God with all your
heart. Okay. Yeah. You guys are quoting scripture again. Okay. Okay. Our greatest job is to glorify God. Agreed? Is that okay? Okay. That is the chief thing. And we do that by loving him. Absolutely. All right. So our main goal in life is to glorify God. What did Jesus say is the church's chief marching order? Anybody know? What is the church's marching orders? What are you supposed to do? What did he commission the church to do? Great commission. That is to go and make disciples, right? That's the marching orders for the church. And this is the first point in the outline. Again, all the notes, the main notes are in your outlines at the website. The Apostle Paul summed up everything about a husband's role with what? You guys know. Ephesians 5:25. Right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That summarizes everything about a husband's job. Love your wives. Okay? It is the most important thing for a husband. It is. It sums up everything about our responsibility toward our wives, love her like Christ. Now, we talked about this last week. What is the best thing that a man can do for his wife? It's to bathe himself in the gospel. Remember that? We talked about the centrality of the gospel. If you're not remembering the gospel, we talked about how if a husband's not loving his wife or failing to love his wife at times, the reason why is, yeah, sin, selfishness. But another angle of that is he's taken his eyes off of Christ, right? Because husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church. Mm-hmm. So if you take your eyes off Christ, you're going to start to do things out of your own strength, out of your own flesh. You've got to love as Christ has loved. And so the most important thing a man can do is bathe himself in the love of Christ for him so that he can reflect that love to others and to his spouse. Okay. Remember the hybrid battery from week one? How many of you have ever driven a hybrid? Okay. I'm not going to say how many of you own, cause it just kind of, you know, all right. We have two hybrids now. I mentioned this in week one, but you know the battery indicator, you know the thing, right? It's got this arrow that goes here from the battery to the engine, and then it flows when you're using too much gas. It turns red and goes from the engine to the batteries. Well, that's sort of how it works, right? The flow chart is like this, right? We get Christ's love and we reflect it out, okay, to others. Today I want to flesh out this love. The theme again is loving your wife. Each week there's kind of an active verb that starts each class. So like, it was finding a spouse and loving your wife and respecting your husband. And each class week is going to be something along those lines. Okay. So today is loving your wife. And I want to flesh out what it means for husbands to love their wives and just different ways that this love is shown. Okay, so the first expression is this. The first expression of love for a husband to a wife is love your wife with an unconditional love. Now, I know we hear that phrase a lot, but let me kind of flesh that out a little bit, okay? What this means is don't love your wife conditionally, okay? How does the world think about love? How does the world think about relationships? How does the world think about marriage? It's kind of a smorgasbord. It's kind of all mixed up. It's very chaotic, very confusing. But the world does not know true godlike love, does it? The world does not know true godlike love. It just does not. The world thinks that love is primarily physical attachment. It can be expressions of lust. The world thinks that love is primarily maybe about emotions. Certainly, it's about personal fulfillment. That's probably the key thing. Okay, it's about me, me, me. When I don't get what I want in this relationship, then I can just end it. I can just, you know, throw it away. So it's ultimately about me. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's about me. Okay, that is very worldly. Okay, when I don't get what I want, I leave because it's not about you or us. It's about me. We see this in what's called no-fault divorce, right? No-fault divorce. But the world says, I love you so long as what? So long as I think you're showing love to me. I'll be nice to you insofar as you are relatively nice to me. Okay. So long as you perform for me, meet my expectations, I will maybe reciprocate and take care of you as well. But there's a lot of selfishness. There's a lot of self-fulfillment, personal fulfillment in the world's idea of love and marriage. Okay. If your physical beauty fades, I mean, it happens all the time. I'll go find someone 20 years younger. Okay. You don't treat me well, don't meet my expectations, don't meet my standards, just say bye-bye. That's a very good picture of worldly love. And it happens probably hundreds, thousands of times a day, okay? Now, it's certainly true in common grace. I mean, you might know two people who are not believers who've been married 30, 40, 50 years. Maybe you do. And that's just common grace. Okay? That's just God's common grace to them. Because one of the questions I asked you last time was, how do two unbelievers have a long persevering marriage? Like how do they do that? Right? Like what principles do they work with? There's a lot of common grace there. Okay, but most of the world thinks very about self fulfillment. That's the key. Okay, it's not a biblical understanding of love. And so if you contrast this with Christ's love. You contrast this with the bridegroom's love for his bride, for Christ's love for his church. What does that contrast look like? How does Christ's love look like for his church, his bride? Notice that for Christ, he's not focused on himself. How do we know that? Because what did he do to show us that he did not focus on himself? He laid down his life, right? That's clearly in the New Testament, all over the place. We're going to sing today a song we know very well, "By This We Know Love," right? "By this we know love, that he laid down his life, God's very own son from heaven. He came to die," I think. Okay. That is true love, right? It's not conditioned on anything in you and me, right? It's not based on my performance for him. Okay. He looks at me, doesn't have expectations of me to fulfill certain things for him in order for him to love me. Right? And so that is true love. It's built on a commitment and a promise. So Jesus does not love us based on his feelings. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? Did Jesus have a struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did he struggle over? Anybody just kind of throw it out there? Do you guys remember? He talked about this cup, right? And he was talking to his Heavenly Father, and he said, at the end, he said what? "But not what? Not my will, but thine be done," right? He saw the agony of the cross, and yet he was committed to loving his Father and loving his bride and doing what his Father had commissioned him to do from the start, okay? So even when his feelings didn't line up, when he wanted to get out of that, he knew that there was no other way. He was committed. And as husbands, we're going to feel that all the time, right? Our feelings are going to regularly tell us, "I don't want to do this. I don't want to love her just based on promise. I want something out of this. I want something back." Okay. And so Jesus acted not on feeling, but on faithfulness, on promise keeping, right? So he went to the cross for his Father, and for his bride. So as husbands, I think this is something where we have to learn to love like this, right? We don't love based on our feelings. We don't love based on how our wife treats us. We don't base it when she lets us down of our standards or whatever we have, okay? So we love without conditions. We love without conditions. We love unconditionally, right? Not based on anything about her, but based on promise and commitment. And ultimately, what Jesus has shown us, okay? Now, before I move on to the second expression of love, just real quickly, I think the reality is that our wives want to know they are loved, okay? Our wives want to be cherished by us. And honestly, an unloved wife is a very, very sad thing, okay? If we love based on conditions, we will bring insecurity. We will bring hurt, right? That is the opposite of being loved and cherished. So husbands, love your wives like Christ in this way. The first way is apart from conditions. Okay, do it unconditionally, like our Lord Jesus. Number two, love your wife with a sacrificial love. A sacrificial love. Now, there are many men today who can quote Ephesians chapter 5, and they love to quote verse 22. Wives, what? What's that word? Submit to your own husbands, right? As to the Lord. They don't particularly think about as to the Lord, but they know very well the command to submit to your own husbands. And they're experts at citing this passage, but they have very little understanding of Ephesians 5:25, of what it means to practically live out, love your wives. Okay? So many men just do not grasp this call to sacrificial love. Okay? Sacrificial love, which is a servant type of love, right? Now, do you think Paul's talking here about jumping in front of a car and pushing your wife out of the way? Like, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He died physically for us, so we need to die physically for our wives. Or a man comes with a knife and you step in and you take that knife for her. Is that all he's talking about? Just please answer me. No. Okay, thank you, my wife. All right. Although I would do that for you, okay? I think. Okay. Although a man has to think, okay, wife and I've got young kids, like what do I do? They'd probably be thinking through that, but yeah, we should protect our wives, obviously. All right. Okay, so that's certainly part of our call, is to physically protect our wives, absolutely. But I think Paul is talking about something much, much harder here. Okay, something even deeper. It's the day-to-day dying to ourselves, right? So that our wives are loved and cared for. Helping with a baby, giving her breaks to nap, changing diapers. Okay, I know most of you guys have done all this, right? You miss some important thing to you, sporting event or whatever, just so you can let her go out with maybe a friend or two, just to get out there. Getting up early to help with the kids, to get them ready for church, right? It's just doing these types, 1,000 other things that men should serve and die to self and be a servant. I think that's true leadership. True leadership is fundamentally servanthood, okay? It's not making decisions, you know. That is a part of leadership, but it's not the thing that determines what you are. That doesn't determine in the New Testament what great leadership is. Okay, great leadership in the Bible is not making decisions for everyone. It's serving people. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to deacon. Okay, that's the Greek word, to deacon. Okay, he came to serve. He who shall be last shall be first, right? Jesus had the authority to tell his disciples, hey, when he was in that upper room, hey, I want you to wash my feet because I'm your king. But what did he do? Right? He got on his knees, he grabbed that basin, and he started washing all their feet. And they started fighting over, you know, all that stuff. So they all wanted to be first. Okay. So we have to get that. Serving is greatness. Okay. Sacrificing is Christ-like. Dying to self is the way of our master. And it's the way of biblical husbandry. So to love like Christ sacrificially means what? It means a husband is to put his wife's needs ahead of his own. Okay, husbands, you must be the greatest servant in your family, bar none. Okay, and this has to be shown in practice and an example, right? Will you give up your desires for, in many, many ways, to make sure that your wife is taken care of, right? Using your time, using your talents, your abilities, using your money to care for your wife. And by the way, husbands, you do this and your wife's respect for you will exponentially grow, right? Third thing, unconditional love, sacrificial love. Third, love your wife for the sake of holiness. Love your wife for the sake of holiness. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 5 and 26 to 27. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. And Brother Hayden, could you read that for us?
Yeah. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish.
Okay, notice the language there. Okay, he says, sanctify her, cleanse her. He says, present in splendor, no spot, no wrinkle. Okay, no such thing, holy, without blemish. Now, this is the idea of holiness, right? This is the idea of purifying. This is the idea of holiness, of loving her for the sake of holiness. And Jesus is making his bride, the church, holy. He's making us more Christ-like, more godly through the washing of the word. And husbands are to do the same for their wives. Okay, and I think this means that we ought to do all we can to help our wives be more beautiful spiritually. Okay, I just want you to think of that phrase. Help your wife be more beautiful spiritually. Okay. You should help your wife grow spiritually. Help her to become more like Christ. And I think this means encouraging her, whether it's in Bible reading, whether it's in study, maybe do it with her. Okay, pray for her, pray with her. Make sure she and the kids have a biblically grounded, Christ-centered local church, okay, where the family can commit to and grow and serve. And grow in knowing how to love other people who love Christ, right? Encourage her to use her spiritual gifts. Say, hey, I think you're a really good encouragement. The church needs people who can encourage. Today, Pastor Jerry's going to talk about using your tongue, James 3:1-12. that it's such a small member, but it can light a fire and destroy a forest, right? But it can also be used to bless God and love the church and encourage her in her in the use of her spiritual gifts, right? To serve in the home, right? Help her discern what is ungodly content. I think especially today, that's really important. You are to protect her, not just physically, but spiritually. And, you know, I mean, almost everyone I know will spend some time flipping through, you know, screens and videos and things like that, right? And something that a husband can do is to help discern, you know, what is worldly entertainment, what is polluting, what is honoring to God. Talk about shows, talk about what they're reading, talk about podcasts, you know, what you're hearing, what you're watching, what you're learning. These are just different ways that you can help your wife become more beautiful spiritually, right? For her to grow in personal holiness, washing of the word and without blemish or without spot. You know, this language that Paul is talking about, that Christ is doing for the church and in kind husbands should be doing for their wives. All right. I'm not talking about micromanaging. I'm not talking about nitpicking everything or making all the decisions. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that be a loving and a gentle guide. Be a loving companion, okay? A servant leading her in Christ. Okay? Picture that, a servant leading her in Christ. When you get married, I'm going to talk about this next week, in 2 weeks, to respect your husband. One of the things that it's really important for a young woman who's thinking about marrying someone, we cover this in finding a spouse. Like, these are things you want to be looking for. If he gets very angry very quickly, be very, very careful about that, man. You know, I just threw out some different things. But one thing is, you have to understand, like, can you truly respect and submit to this man your whole life, right? Because when you choose to get married, you're choosing to sit shotgun. You are, okay? And so just, you know, just understand that. It's a big decision. But at the same time, when we talk about loving your wife, we're not talking about micromanaging. We're not talking about nitpicking at everything, making all the decisions. I don't think that should happen often at all. Making really big decisions, I mean, throughout your week, as you get to know your wife, your spouse, it's just kind of like you make decisions, you want to talk about things. Okay, you know, you might disagree on things. Now, ultimately, when push comes to shove, if you have to make a huge decision, yeah, ultimately, the husband needs to make that call. If you cannot decide, you've gone in prayer, I mean, push comes to shove, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, a decision has to be made. Wife is called to trust her husband, ultimately trust God, trust Christ, right? And let the husband decide that and let him be accountable to God for that decision. But by and far, you're not making decisions like that, right? Even when we were deciding on finalizing adoption or with, you know, two of our adopted kids, or, you know, we sat down, we talked about it. And I mean, I don't know if there was ever really a discussion, really a debate on whether we would, but we had to think through it a lot. You know, I kept thinking, how old will I be when this person is 18 and I'll be 60? Oh no. You know, like, you start thinking about that. You realistic, like, okay, can I do this right? One life to live, just do it. So we did it. But yeah, there was really no, you know, but the husband just doesn't go, okay. I think they all look to me and says, what do you want, Dad? And I said, what do you guys want, right? I mean, leadership is not just making all the decisions. Leadership is fundamentally, as I tell in premarital counseling, it's using words like, hey, how about we, or let's, that's leadership. It's initiating and getting it going, but not saying we're doing this every single time. That's dictatorship, okay? I lost my place. Okay, so sometimes big decisions need to be made. Yes, I don't think it happens that often. Once, twice a year at most, right? It's just life doesn't happen like that. We're not here to just make decisions and tell everybody to follow us like that. I think more often the husband, I think, listens carefully to the wife. I think more often will prefer her way, and it goes both ways. But hey, will there be times where the wife will make a bad judgment? Is she always going to make a good judgment? Absolutely not. Okay. It could be wanting to go to a fun, entertaining church. And the husband goes, no, we need to go to a more solid Bible teaching church. Right? That's an important area of leadership. He says, hun, you got to trust me on this, right? That's an important discussion. You talk about it, explain, give your reasons as a husband, but ultimately you've got to make that decision. If you can't agree, she wants to spend money and going into debt on financial non-necessities, right? Hey, husband, stand up, be firm, okay? Speak your mind humbly, gently. Okay, it is sad that a lot of Christian men have given over their spiritual leadership in the home, and they don't gently lead, they don't lovingly speak up, and they don't lovingly stand firm. You think about two examples that were devastating. Genesis chapter 3, who listened to Eve? Adam. Should he have listened to her? No, Genesis 3:6, right? Who else listened to someone that he should not have listened to? You guys remember? Sarai, Hagar, and right? Yeah, exactly. And Abraham, right? So he should have said, no, I'm not going to go, you know, with my, she said, go with my servant Hagar. He goes, oh yeah, okay, I'll do it. I'm like, come on, man, right? Stand up, follow the Lord. Very unwise request from the wives, and the husbands did not stand firm. I just want you guys to remember, this is in the notes also, okay? We're going to move to the fourth point out of six. But one more thing here, number three. One day you're going to have to give your wife back to Christ. Okay, I want you to think about that. You'll have to give your wife back to Christ, and your job will be done on this earth. And what does Christ expect? He expects her to be more godly because of you. I want you to remember that, right? He wants her to be more beautiful spiritually because of you. Because you were her husband that he gave to her on this earth, right? And you have to realize this is what your king expects when you stand on that judgment day. So love your wife for the sake of holiness. Not micromanaging, not nitpicking, but a loving guide leading her in Christ. Okay? Fourth, love your wife with an affectionate love. Affectionate love. Ephesians 5:29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Okay? Husbands are to nourish and cherish their wives. Now, what does this at least mean? It means a lot. But we know we're to love them, to cherish them, to show affection for them. Okay. It's to financially provide as best we can. Okay. It's to take emotional interest. Try to connect with our wives on a talking, communicating levels, listening. Right. After all, marriage is a covenant of companionship. We talked about that in week one. So when we talk about the one flesh union, as we mentioned in week one, absolutely involves physical intimacy, right? Which we'll cover in week 10, saving, not necessarily the best for last, but saving the most, maybe the most interesting. Okay. All right. Okay. So the one flesh union absolutely involves the physical union. But it is much more than that. I think it's financial. I think it's relational. It's emotional. It's spiritual. Okay. And most likely, not always, but more often, it just happens to be that wives want more relational connection than husbands. You guys know that, right? We're not the same. We are biologically different. We are relationally different. Okay. By and far, not 100%, but most women want to relationally connect with their men more so than men naturally want the other way around. Okay? And so she wants to be heard on her interests. She wants to wake you up at 3 a.m. and tell you about the dream she just had. Okay? Can I just say that my wife, including about, what time is it right now? Anybody know what time it is?
9:32.
What time is it?
9:32.
About 5.5 hours ago, was kicking, making all these noises. She was like, I said, oh boy, another nightmare, right? Sure enough, she gets up, and I go, was it me again? She goes, yeah. Was it? I couldn't let you order some food or something? Like, I don't remember what it was. Like, oh no, you couldn't. It's always around food, and she doesn't get her food. I don't know. It's almost always. And then we heard a rat in our walls. And so we turn on the light, it's like, and we're like looking behind like the door, and we're like, she got her flashlight. This is at 3 a.m. and we're 3:21. So anyway, yeah, we were up for 45 minutes and then went back down. But okay, where was I? Connecting with your wife. She wants to relationally connect sometimes at 3 a.m., all right? So, all right, she wants to share her hopes, her dreams, her nightmares. Okay, this is part of what it means to nourish, cherish our wives, to show affectionate love for them, right? Your wife wants to be the apple of your eye, okay? The reality is our eyes see a lot of things in this world, okay? And insecurity can easily be bred in our wives, right? But yet she wants to be the delight of your heart. She absolutely does. Okay, just as Christ rejoices over his bride and nourishes and cherishes her, his church. So do all you can, husbands, to love your wife affectionately. Fifth, love your wife with an understanding love. I'm going to turn to Peter here. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, the Apostle Peter says, live with your wives in an understanding way. Now listen to this. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. He's saying a lot there. It's very interesting. We all know, as I just said, men and women are wired differently. Our culture is confused, chaotic about all this. But the reality is this, is that men and women are very different in many ways. And that includes physically and emotionally and relationally. Okay, so husbands, we need to be students of our wives. We need to be learning about them. Okay, I will say this in premarital all the time. Your job, each of you, is to be a lifelong student of your spouse. Okay, you need to be continually learning more about them. Okay, and what kinds of touches, you know, does she appreciate? What types of words? What types of gifts? What types of foods? What does she like? Okay, what are her interests? Okay, this is all part of loving her with an understanding love. Right? Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman, to your wife. Why? She as the weaker vessel. Now, I'm gonna say something about that right now, because it's abused and misused and taken out of context like all the time, even in churches. It's used by dominant, unbiblical complementarian men, patriarchal domineering men. It's used by progressives and liberals who make fun of it. So I want to just clarify what it means here. He says love her with an understanding love, and then he says that she is the weaker vessel. Honor her as the weaker vessel. What does he mean there, Peter? He does not mean inferior. He does not mean less valuable. Okay? He does not mean less smart. He does not mean less moral. Right? What does he mean? He says that they are co-heirs in salvation. So there is equality there. Right? Equal in value. Christ redeems all of us. We are heirs of the promise of rewards in heaven, okay, of eternal life. So he calls it the grace of life. That's salvation. But the idea behind Peter's words is this. Think of it as the wife is more delicate. Okay? The weaker vessel. The wife is more delicate. Okay? Think of it as the wife should be handled with care. That's why Peter speaks of living with her in an understanding way, and he adds the part, the weaker vessel. Okay, husbands need to love their wives in such a way that understands them and not crushes them. Okay, because our wives can be easily crushed. There's a lot that they can compare themselves to, right? And the husband should be patient with her in her weaknesses. The husband should be sensitive to the ways she is different from himself. Maybe he's strong in certain ways, and he doesn't fail in certain ways that she might, right? And it does go vice versa, by the way. We have weaknesses and that they don't. But Peter is specifically saying you've got to live with her in an understanding way, see her in a certain way, and care for her because she has weaknesses, right? And don't crush her. In the light of those weaknesses, don't pound on her and bash her. All right, so show grace, show kindness, show humility, show gentleness, show meekness. All right, she's different from you. And so a husband, and this is a quote in your outline, a husband must be sensitive to how your anger, your disapproval, how those things can hurt her, can crush her, can cause fear, can cause insecurity in her heart. Okay, that's what he means by the weaker vessel, right? That's the idea that Peter's getting at, right? He wants husbands to love their wives, to care for them with understanding and sensitivity and awareness, because they are wired differently. And they can be discouraged in so many ways that can harm the marriage relationship, okay, and cause fear and cause insecurity in their heart. Notice one more thing. This is really interesting, and I'll move to my final point. Notice Peter says there's a warning to husbands that if you fail to do this, what does he say? This is really scary. He ends 1 Peter, the end of verse 3:7 says, so that your prayers may not be hindered. This is extremely scary for men, okay? Peter says, if you treat your wives without sensitivity and without understanding, your prayers will not be heard or answered. Okay, that's crazy stuff. I mean that in a good way, because it's in the Bible, right? But I mean, it's wild, right? God takes the expression of love for our wives, to love them in an understanding way, to not crush them, to care for them, so seriously that if we neglect a love like this, he will not hear nor answer our prayers. Okay? They will be hindered. God is very serious about the love that husbands show for their wives in an understanding way. Sixth and lastly, love your wife with an affirming love. Love your wife with an affirming love. This is where I'm going to talk about words, and I'll wrap up, okay? It's true that many husbands live with wives who are very critical and very nagging. It's absolutely true. It's also true of the vice versa. It's also true that many wives live with husbands who do the very same, right? There are many men who constantly criticize their wives, right, left and right. The moment they step in the door, they come home from work, it's criticism. Right? They complain about the food. They complain about the kids. They complain about the house. They complain about the way they drive. I admit. I threw that one in there. All right. Okay. But many wives are criticized left and right, and they can't seem to do anything right in the marriage relationship. Right? This is debilitating. It's discouraging. It's crushing. Okay? And it should not be like this. Husbands ought to try to be the best rah-rah cheerleaders, right, for our wives, okay? It's true. Our wives are not perfect. We are not perfect. They're not perfect, okay? So do all you can to affirm her, right? Affirm the good you see in her, in what she does, how God is working in her life. I certainly want to do this better and better, more and more in my own marriage. But brother husbands, join me in this, and let's be affirming and more encouraging to our spouses, okay? Especially with our words. One writer has said this. He's written a pretty decent marriage book. Deep in the heart of every wife is the self-doubt that wonders, do I please him? Am I what he dreamed of? Am I what he longed for? Will he love me to the very end? Am I safe with this man I married? Or will he cast me off? Will he get tired of me? I do believe that most, if not all, wives, to some degree, ask these questions of insecurity, maybe different seasons of their lives, right? Maybe not often, or maybe not always, but at times, okay? Some more so than others. But no doubt, these questions of doubt and this sense of insecurity and am I worthy? Am I pleasing? They will creep into every wife. And I think the loving and the wise and the godly husband will try to understand that his wife has these questions. We live with the understanding of insecurity, right? I think just generally, that's just how husbands and wives are. I don't feel totally insecure. I'm not sure why, right? I have other issues, okay? Like, probably to men, being respected is a little more important than feeling secure, right? Respect it. That's why Paul says, respect your husbands. It's a big deal. And yet, these questions of insecurity, will he love me to the end? Am I pleasing to him? You know, do I look good enough for him? Like, all these different types of questions. A loving, godly husband will seek to assure his wife that, you know, you are the one for me. You'll say that, right? I cherish you. I'm pleased with you. I love you. You're wonderful for me. I want to grow old with you. Have you seen the wedding singer, Adam Sandler? You guys ever heard that song? I think the long version is actually pretty nasty. But there's a clean version. Did we do that at the wedding?
Mm-hmm. That was our first dance.
Oh, that was our first dance. Okay, see. Thank you. Okay. All right. I knew it was at our wedding, so give me credit for that. So I can't remember if it was at a wedding or because Terry loves that song, but he says, I want to grow old with you, you know. So she always starts having a tear in her eye. Every time she sees like an old couple walking, holding hands, she goes, you know. So I'm like, all right, here we go. Okay. All right. So encourage our wives with our words and affirm them, husbands. All right. Just try, do it more. We tend not to do that very well with our mouths. But hopefully, even in today's sermon, we can be encouraged and challenged more to do that, as Pastor Jerry teaches. Next week, so those are six ways to love our wives. Next week, no class. What time is it? Oh, perfect timing. Okay. Next week, no class, VBS. And then the following Sunday, respecting your husbands. Okay. All you wives who showed up for loving your husbands, please show up for respect. All you wives who showed up for loving your wives, show up for respecting your husbands, okay? Okay, any questions from today's class? Anything? We have a couple books left if you want What He Must Be. Any other questions from today? Anything to clarify? Okay, the study questions are also on the website. There's four of them. How should a husband's love look like Christ's love? What are some ways a husband can help make his wife more beautiful spiritually? You know, some things to think through. If a husband says, my wife is too hard to love, what would you say to him? How would you counsel him? Okay. Fourth, what are some ways a husband can grow in loving his wife? Just some practical ways. Okay. Our tongues are a big way, right? Using our words. All right. I think we're done. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to learn together. Thank you for the scriptures, which teach us what your will is for us as husbands. I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us, help us to truly love and serve and sacrifice and care for our wives. And Lord, we pray that our wives would just show a lot of humility and grace toward us as we seek to love you and love them. So Lord, thank you again. Bless our worship service this morning. Be glorified in all that we say and do. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. All right, we'll see you guys in service in a few minutes. Yeah, the guys get-